This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Good morning to you and welcome to CBS This Morning. It's Thursday, July 22nd, 2021. I'm Gail King with Anthony Mason, Vladimir Dudier, Tony DeCoppo on Baby Week. Let's go.
We begin with the latest on how the coronavirus numbers are heading sharply in the wrong direction. More than 52,000 cases were reported in the U.S. yesterday, a major jump in just the last few weeks. Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, Missouri, and Nevada are the hardest hit states right now as unvaccinated Americans are driving these trends. Our lead national correspondent, David Begno, is in Louisiana, where they hit one of their highest single-day totals since the pandemic began. David, good morning.
Good morning, Anthony. I got to tell you, it sent a shiver down the spine of the doctors I was walking around this hospital with yesterday. They were shocked by the number, more than 5,000 new COVID infections. Even the governor was shocked. Here he is.
I actually lost my breath today when that daily update came to me.
That is Louisiana's governor, who is dealing with the highest number of COVID infections since the winter, leading to a surge in hospitalizations. Deaths will certainly follow.
A mother does not want to bury a child.
Betty Antoine's 46-year-old son, Brandon, became a COVID statistic.
I begged him. I said, you need to take the vaccine, Brandon. Oh, no, Mom, I'm not going to take it. And you better not take the vaccine either.
Did he ever talk to his doctor?
His doctor wanted him to take the vaccine. He told her no.
Brandon told his mom and his friends that he had done his research and he wanted to wait.
But he did not tell his friends all the underlying health conditions he had. He had a bad heart. He had lung problems, COPD.
6 days after he tested positive for COVID, Brandon died.
When you stood by his bedside after he had died, what did you think?
First of all, I was so full with, I want to say angry. I was kind of angry, not so much at him, but because he did not take the vaccine. And I said right then, I'm going to ask his friends and everybody to take that vaccine in honor of him.
So she asked that vaccines be offered at Brandon's funeral.
Why did you want to do it at his funeral?
I wanted them to see Brandon ashes. I wanted them to know, look, Brandon is dead because he did not take the vaccine.
There were three people who got vaccinated at the funeral. 10 of Brandon's friends followed. Among the 100 million Americans who are unvaccinated, many of them are healthcare workers. Louisiana State Health Officer says 24-year-old nurse Olivia Guidry from Lafayette died of COVID. She had, on Twitter in the past, spread anti-vaccine misinformation.
I believe every physician and nurse should be vaccinated right now, and if that requires a mandate, I'd support it.
Christopher Thomas is a critical care ICU doctor in Baton Rouge.
And in order to protect the patients, we have to not be carrying virus. We've done this for flu. We need to be patient-centered, and that requires us as healthcare professionals to take the first leap, and that first leap is to get vaccinated.
You know, the American Medical Association says 96% of physicians around the country are vaccinated. The American Nurses Foundation says 70% of nurses are vaccinated. So there's some hesitancy there, and there's hesitancy among patients. I want to end with this. It's so important. One patient I interviewed said, you know, David, I don't want that vaccine because it's not fully approved. There's only an emergency use authorization. So I went to a doctor and I said, what do you say to that? And he said, I'll tell you. He said that guy was treated with medication using an emergency use authorization. That medication is not fully approved. So the doctor said if he was willing to take that to get better and get out of the hospital, he ought to be willing to take the vaccine, too. to prevent him from having to come back here again. Gail?
Boy, David, that is such a good point. Thank you so much. CBS News medical contributor Dr. David Agus joins us now at the table to continue this conversation. You know, I have a relative that says that exact same thing. Listen, this is the emergency use authorization. I'm not going to take it until it's approved. And I'm thinking, this is an emergency. That's why it's called the emergency use authorization. Sylvia, not their real name. And I'm just thinking, what, and I know David, but what do you say? There are a lot of people that think the way that she does.
Yeah, no, I say, Sylvia, you know, an emergency use authorization has 60 days of follow-up because almost all side effects are seen within in that window. And we could get it out quickly to the American public. A full authorization has 6 months of follow-up. We have that data. It's been released. It's transparent. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So when that full approval comes, probably the end of August, it's going to be no different than today, right? The data are the same, and we know what the data are. They are safe, and they work. And anybody who says, well, I'm waiting for full approval, doesn't mean anything, right? We know, you know, the manufacturing is safe. We know that the clinical trials, they worked. And in real world, it's as good or better than the clinical trials. It's pretty impressive.
David, why, as Dave Bignall was telling us, there's hesitancy even among nurses.
Yeah.
You have a 70% first who have just the first dose. Why do you think that is?
And you think they know something we don't?
No question about it, and I think it's wrong. You know, we took an oath as a doctor, as a nurse, as a healthcare professional to really not bring harm to patients. If you are not vaccinated, you could unwittingly bring the virus to a patient, and that's just not right. We have to educate better. Part of it's my fault, right? Obviously, we're educating wrong if those rumors are still out there. Mm. We have to rise above with the data and get people to understand the safety and efficacy of these vaccines. Period.
Should there be a mandate for doctors and nurses to get a vaccine?
I don't think there should be. I think there will be. No question about it. Doctors and nurses need to be vaccinated or they can bring harm to people. And I think they're going to be a mandate at many workplaces also once we get that full approval. That's a milestone set in the sand. Companies have said, as soon as there's a full approval, I'm going to stand up. Well, Bruce Springsteen stood up, yes, you know, a month ago and said, you come to my concert only if you're vaccinated.
Bravo.
You
bravo,
have a Bruce. Right not to be vaccinated in this country, but you don't have a right to leave your house and potentially harm others without a mask.
But this is the thing. As we sit here vaccinated, I'm worried about these breakthrough cases that are coming from people that are not vaccinated. Is it rude to ask people, are you vaccinated? Because I'm now asking people, because I think if you don't want to get the vaccine, that's fine with you, but now you're endangering other people. It's not just
exactly.
You. That's the problem
I
have with it.
You have a right of choosing who you associate with it and the risk with those associations. Anytime you're with someone who's unvaccinated, there is a risk for you as an individual. Even if you're vaccinated, you can be exposed to the virus and have a mild breakthrough case. They're rare, but they clearly do happen.
Dr. David Agus, always great to see you, especially at the table.
At the table.
It's good to see you here.
We were all wondering, what is he going to wear?
Everybody did.
Mwah. Surprise.
Works every time.
And I got to hug some of you before the story, so I love that.
I do, too. I do, too.
All right. There are plans for a bipartisan congressional committee to investigate the deadly assault on the Capitol, but they are in disarray this morning. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi rejected two of Republican leader Kevin McCarthy's five picks for the panel. Both of those congressmen have opposed an investigation into what happened on January 6th. Chris Van Cleve has more from Capitol Hill. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Speaker Pelosi justified her decision saying January 6th is so important it warranted this unprecedented action. Kevin McCarthy then blasted her for playing politics and said the GOP will do its own investigation. Let's be clear here. Both parties are going to claim victory because this plays directly to their bases.
Pelosi has broken this institution.
The top Republican in the House, Kevin McCarthy, slammed the stunning surprise from Speaker Nancy Pelosi, rejecting two Republican firebrands for the January 6th Select Committee. The Speaker denied Congressman Jim Jordan and Jim Banks, citing the integrity of the investigation and pointing to previous statements made by the two.
It's always been about getting the president, no matter what.
Jordan and Banks are both outspoken allies of former President Trump, whose supporters made up the mob that stormed the Capitol. Both also voted to overturn the election and previously criticized the committee.
They just want to be partisan. They just want to continue to attack the former president. They want to play their political games.
Pelosi's move drew an immediate response from McCarthy.
Why are you allowing a lame duck speaker
to destroy this institution. This is the people's house, not Pelosi's house.
He announced he'd pull all five of his appointed members, and instead, Republicans would do their own investigation if the speaker doesn't reverse course. Pelosi fired back. Breaking with her party, Liz Cheney is the lone Republican staying on the January 6th committee. She said she supports the speaker's decision and criticized McCarthy.
And at every opportunity, the minority leader has attempted to prevent the American people from understanding what happened, to block this investigation.
Now, Cheney is still on this panel because she was appointed by the speaker, not Kevin McCarthy. The Select Committee's first hearing is set for Tuesday. They will be hearing from law enforcement officers who were at the Capitol on January 6th. Anthony?
Chris, thank you. President Biden's bipartisan infrastructure deal suffered a temporary setback on Capitol Hill when Senate Republicans rejected an attempt to move the package forward. They voted yesterday against debating the legislation, which is geared towards rebuilding the nation's bridges, roads, and broadband systems. President Biden called the setback irrelevant, pointing out that the senators did not shoot the bill down, they just delayed it. But there is a growing sense of urgency to pass it before the lawmakers leave for their August recess.
A group of attorneys general has announced a $26 billion settlement with four companies involved in producing and distributing opioids. McKesson, Cardinal Health, and AmerisourceBergen are being sued along with the drug maker Johnson & Johnson. They were accused of playing a role in creating and fueling the nation's opioid epidemic. If the deal is approved, the first three companies would collectively pay up to $21 billion over the next 18 years. Johnson & Johnson would pay up to $5 billion over 9 years. States have 30 days to agree to the settlement. In a statement, J&J said the settlement is not an admission of liability or wrongdoing. The other three companies said they still strongly dispute the allegations made in the lawsuits.
Harvey Weinstein has pleaded not guilty to multiple counts of rape and sexual assault ahead of a second trial, this time in California. The disgraced movie mogul entered a Los Angeles courtroom yesterday in a wheelchair. He now faces 11 counts of sexual assault involving five women. He says any sexual contact he had with these women was consensual. Now, this trial, you should know, is separate from his New York case where he was convicted of rape last year. He has been serving a 23-year prison sentence there, but was extradited to California.
Now to China, where the military has been called in to blast open a dam to help control catastrophic flooding. Dramatic video shows people trapped inside subway cars submerged in chest-deep waters in the city of Zhengzhou. The flooding has killed at least 33 people after the area saw a year's worth of rain in just 3 days. Remy Innocencio reports.
The deluge took the city and these commuters by surprise, trapping hundreds in subway carriages as floodwaters rushed in. The flood was too powerful and people got washed away, this passenger said. Another person and I almost wanted to give up because we didn't have enough strength, but I used my arm to hang on. Many struggled to get out of the subway system themselves and back onto higher ground. With no other option, rescue workers were forced to cut open carriage roofs and pull people to safety before any remaining air ran out. We smashed the upper part of the glass to let some air in. Otherwise, we would have suffocated. On ground level, dramatic video shows a group of people attempting a rescue before the ground gives way beneath them. Across this city of 12 million, the rising floodwaters turned streets into raging rivers, trapping drivers in their cars and residents in their homes. Around 100,000 people have now been evacuated. China's military has now been deployed to assist. This video from state media shows a nearby dam being blasted open to divert floodwaters away from the flood-ravaged city. But with more rain on the way, what climate scientists have described as a once-in-a-millennium event could become even more common in the future. For CBS This Morning, Remy Innocencio, Hong Kong.
That's just terrifying. And in Tokyo, there is new controversy stirring ahead of tomorrow's opening ceremony for the Olympic Games. Jamie Yukas is in the Japanese capital covering the story. Jamie, good morning to you. Please stay safe. What can you tell us?
Good morning, Gail. We're doing our best. It seems like every day there is a new scandal officials here are having to deal with. In this latest incident, the director of opening ceremonies, Kentaro Kobayashi, has been forced to step down. He's accused of making fun of the Holocaust in a comedy skit that aired back in 1998. Kobayashi took over in March when his predecessor stepped down after making sexist comments. The opening ceremony also recently lost its composer after an interview resurfaced where he revealed he bullied and abused disabled classmates. The controversies are the latest embarrassment for Japanese organizers. A rise in COVID cases in the country, nearly 2,000 new cases today in Tokyo, is threatening to overshadow their biggest night. To give you an idea, in Rio in 2016, 65,000 fans attended opening night festivities. Here in Japan, it'll be just 1,500. Some Japanese have been extremely frustrated that the games are continuing at all, with many complaining on social media, asking the government to focus on that vaccine rollout and not the games. Anthony?
Jamie Yukis in Tokyo for us. Thanks, Jamie. I'm still surprised that the Japanese weren't more ready for this.
Me too. And the people clearly are saying, don't come, don't do it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm very worried about the people who are there who are covering it.
Yeah, athletes.
Yeah, you just
and
feel so bad for the athletes.
The athletes, right. The reporters, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the CBS This Morning podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to get daily podcast originals.
You can watch the CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station or live on the CBS All Access app.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast. I'm here with my producer, Becca. Becca, what can people expect on the podcast?
The extended moments, for sure.
Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
I use the internet.